The following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
The year was 1174, and there was this idea that was birthed, and that is that they were to build a cathedral that was 185 feet high, and it was to be in the city of Pisa. And it all looked great on paper. And so they began to build, and we have a picture of it here, actually, of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Very famous, of course. You all know of it. The problem is that as soon as they started to build this tower, the problem started immediately. The foundation by which the tower is built, there was just no way that it was stable enough to hold the weight of 185 feet over eight stories. And so right in the beginning days, as I was just rereading the story and getting familiar with this whole journey, this thing started to tilt right from the beginning, and it just kept on tilting. Over 800 years of tilting. And ultimately, in 1990, it was 17 feet off center. And they had to shut it down to the public. And so at 1990, they said, okay, well, listen, like, we have to do something here, like, ASAP. Otherwise, we're going to have this tower topple. And so $25 million later, and 110,000 tons of soil was taken out of the high side to somehow stabilize the tower. And they, after all of that, they gained 16 inches. 16 inches. They reopened it to the public. They now say that it'll probably hang in there for a couple hundred years, so they say. But experts say that without a doubt, the tower is going to go down. Like, they just can't forever do what they've done. Just so you have a picture in your mind of what it looks like when a building goes down because of a bad foundation, there's a short clip that I do want to just show you, and it gives you this idea of, you know, when the foundation just is not right, this is what happens. This is just a building that goes down. Have a look.
Manila, Philippines. Panicked families run for their lives. Their high-rise apartment building is beginning to tilt. An urgent evacuation is underway. When suddenly, women and children are still running for safety when the foundation gives way. The building rips through power lines, threatening to ignite the entire neighborhood.
When that building goes down, it really does not matter what the materials are. It does not matter how good, how competent the people were at building walls, wiring the walls, putting the it really doesn't matter. All that matters, really, is the foundation by which that high-rise was on. Now, the reason that I bring all of that up this morning is just simply because of the passage that we're going to look at this morning. It's Jesus saying these final words of the Sermon on the Mount that we've been looking at over these, this will be the 20th week, actually, and we'll bring this whole series to a conclusion today. But Jesus paints this last picture for us. And in this last picture, he just basically puts it all out on the table. There's nothing that he holds back. It's all out on the table. And he paints this picture of these buildings. And he talks about the importance of the foundation. And that's what we want to talk about today as we kind of just talk about the importance of when we build to stand. We're going to build something with our lives. When we build it to stand. So listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, as we round out, come to conclude this whole section of Scripture, Matthew 5 through 7, this series, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine, and we've heard a lot of words from Jesus. Jesus has said an awful lot of words, words about a kind of people that he's calling us and inviting us into his kingdom. And this kingdom is just a group of people that are just imperfect people, any and all people, you know, persecuted, poor, meek types, lots of different kind of people. Jesus has been saying an awful lot of words. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the flood came, the winds, they beat against that house. But it did not collapse because it had been founded on rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the flood came, the winds beat against that house, and it collapsed. It was utterly destroyed. And when Jesus finished saying these things, crowds were amazed by his teaching. Because he taught them like one who had authority, not like the experts in the law. That's the conclusion, the Sermon on the Mount. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying, it's essential that we find out this foundation thing. It's essential that we understand that whatever we build on, the foundation needs to be rock solid. Because if it isn't, it doesn't matter what kind of materials you use. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the adornment. It doesn't matter. Because if the foundation is not strong and if the foundation is not secure, it's all going to just end up in a heap and in a rubble. And so this morning, that's what I really want to talk about. I want to talk about this picture that Jesus paints. Because if the solidity of a foundation isn't there, then we know from building, you know, the walls are going to crack over time. The windows aren't going to open and close the right way. They're going to get stuck. The roof's going to leak. And sooner or later, friends, sooner or later, the storms of life are going to come. We all know that that's true. We may be in a storm right now. But if you're not, just know it's coming. That's the way that life is. Now, the importance of this morning is just that, you know, we know that the storm is going to come. So the foundation really does need to be, you know, looked at. And if we don't look at it, all of the work, all of what we've done is all for naught, because it's going to just kind of end up kind of useless. And so Jesus says, all of this heartache of wasted work or building something that's going to crash can be avoided if you listen and if you do what it is that I'm saying. So let's just pull this story apart a little bit. First of all, just notice that there's a couple of builders. There's only two builders. One that's building on rock, there's one that's building on sand. There's only two options. There's two alternatives. And in our culture these days, it's, I don't know where you're at, you know, as you walk through, you know, your journey, because we're all on one. We all got a story. I don't know where you're at in your journey when it comes to this thing called truth, especially when I say things of ultimate truth, because there's a whole myriad of things that come to our mind. Well, in this story, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it really only proposes two options. It really only says that you're either going to trust in Jesus and follow his example and choose to follow him, or you're not going to. It's like either you're going to or you're not going to. There's really only the two. Like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, there's the narrow gate that leads to life. There's the wide gate that leads to death. There's really only two. The way of Jesus, the way that isn't of Jesus. Two builders, two options, two alternatives. Now, the culture says, hey, there's a myriad of choices if you want to be a spiritual person. And it's very in vogue these days. But I mean, you know, you have the Christianity, you have the Islam, if you like, Buddhism, you have Mormonism, Hinduism, Sintoism, Wicca. I mean, there's a lot of New Age. There's a lot of different. It's almost like a buffet. And what's also in vogue is for those of us, we kind of like the buffet approach where we take a little of that because that appeals to you. Personally, you like that one, and you like that one. So personally, you take that one, or you take this. No, I'm not going to have that one because that's a little hard. And so we pick and choose. We pick and choose what it is that we want. We pick and choose what it is that seems right to us. We pick and choose what seems right in our eyes. We like certain things. We don't like certain other things. And so we kind of create our own picture of what it should be like. God doesn't see it that way. Really, there's only two ways. There's the way of Jesus, and there's the way of everything else. And I know all of us, we scream, that's so exclusive. That's so intolerant. I know. All I can say is, does it mean that there's no value in some of these other beliefs? Of course it doesn't mean that there's no value. Certainly there's some value. There's a kernel of truth in a lot of different things. But friends, there's an awful lot of problems that can come into a belief system when it's not the right one. You can believe all you want. You can step out of a 9-story. You can be as sincere as you want that you won't fall and hit the ground. But you're going to fall and you're going to hit the ground. You believe whatever you like about that 9-story step. Into free air, I'm not going to fall, I'm not going to fall, I'm not going to fall. You're going to fall. Truth is, you're going to fall. Sincere as you like. Jesus is just simply saying, foundation by which you build your life, man, it needs to be built on something that's rock solid, not sand-like. And so, it's so easy sometimes to somehow do the buffet approach. And sometimes in the buffet approach, we can look at different belief systems. And obviously, there's some things that just, okay, I can't buy into that. But friends, sometimes there's some dangerous ones that just, you don't even see it coming. And you slip into some kind of a belief system. You didn't even know. You had no idea that that's what they were about. Be careful. We talked about the importance of discerning a couple of weeks ago. You didn't listen to that, you can get that online. I believe that most of the messages are up to date on our website. And if you would want to go and listen to some of the messages in this series, I would just recommend they're there for you and for use if you'd like to. And so I'd say just regards to this issue of the buffet approach to spirituality, it's just important, I think, also that we understand as much as maybe some of us think it might be worthwhile or it might be helpful to kind of explore any and all of the belief systems out there. I just want to say, and just really go public with something, I just think it's really unnecessary. It's just, it's not even that it's, you know, not helpful. I just think it's unnecessary. There's a passage in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 that says this. I can pray this because his divine power has bestowed on us, listen, everything necessary for life and godliness through the rich knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and excellence. What is this verse saying? This is what this verse is saying. It is saying, knowing Jesus gives us everything that we need in order to walk through life, storms of life, good times of life. Knowing Jesus is all that really is required. Jesus allows us to know what it is that we need. So, in other words, let me put it this way. You have at it. You get tickets, fly anywhere in the world to see the masters of the spiritual options that our world offers. You go. You knock yourself out. You go and you find their attention, sit under their teaching. You find out everything that you need to find out about that particular belief system. And all I believe, my personal opinion, is that you actually will only use up money that's hard-earned and spent. And you would have done, in fact, you'll be ahead. The person who just gets a Bible and opens it and allows God to speak to him and through to her through the truth of the scripture. Just doing your devotions. I mean, I'm going to just be a broken record on this. Everything necessary for you and I, God provides through the person of Jesus Christ. We've got a new reading guide out this month. If this is brand new to you, all you need to know is that there's something we make available, and so it's a yellow little cardstock. Take it, read through. You know the sections on the day. We're going through the book of Daniel. That'll be very interesting. Also the book of Job. That's a little harder. Stick to Daniel. There's actually a mini guide on the back that you can follow along if those readings are too long. Friends, honestly, I just tell you this. There's something within Scripture that God has promised you just meet with me in a private way, watch what I do. Watch what I do in your heart. So again, I just simply talking about, there's nothing to gain from those of us that were kind of curious about Eastern mysticism. There's nothing really to gain from Zen Buddhism. There's nothing to gain from New Age. Yes, they're prevalent. Yes, they're out there. You want to know the main bullet points and the main facts? Okay, well, that's fine. Just know. All that is necessary for you and I to build a rock-solid foundation, Jesus has made available to us. And so, another thing to just notice about the man who builds his house on the sand, he does a lot of things right, doesn't he? I mean, if you just really think about it, he's diligent. He's energetic. I mean, he's got a work ethic. It's not easy to build a house, especially in that day. As Jesus is telling this story, I mean, you think about it. He's got to cut wood. He's got to carry rock. I mean, it's going to be a back-breaking, hard labor project. No power tools. I mean, this is a whole deal. I mean, no Home Depot you can just go down to. This is a challenge. And this guy doesn't quit. And so he does that, maybe weeks, maybe months, but he finishes the job and he doesn't quit. Yet in the end, all his hard work ends up amounting to nothing. Why? The foundation let go. And the point I'm trying to make here is activity is sometimes really easy to confuse with the closeness with Jesus, and it's not. It can be a big mistake. Activity sometimes allows us to think, just because I'm busy doing things in the ministry, it's somehow a measurement of the sincerity of my heart toward God. Big mistake, friends. Sometimes that's the thing that we really have got to identify. Activity does not mean necessarily that our heart is soft toward God. Many of us make the mistake that just because we're involved in ministry, it's a mark of spirituality. Because of all of this activity, and because of all of the service that sometimes we can be involved in, I think Jesus would say, be careful, because you're on sand. Be careful, because you're doing all of these things, and the motivations by which you're doing these things, it's not even right. And I think only God knows what it is that motivates you and I to do what it is we do. It's only God who really understands what it is. And I hope that it's you that also knows why it is that you do what you do. I think we can ask ourselves some of those questions. Like sometimes we can be doing things and the reason, it may be a wrong reason, but it's not even an obvious wrong reason. Like it's sometimes hard to obviously see that there's a bad foundation under a building. I don't think the guy who built the high-rise tower realized, you know, I'm going to plan on this thing going down. He didn't. Built the high-rise tower for it to stand was an obviously a problem. But I would say that there's something that we can do to just simply ask ourselves the question, as costly as our services, as costly as the labors, as much activity as we're doing, if the foundational motivation for why we do things is not love, it's going to crumble, God tells us. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not criticizing involvement. I'm not criticizing service. I'm not criticizing any of that. All I'm just simply saying is that we have to examine our heart. We have to understand, why is it that I'm doing what I'm doing? Because if it's pride, because of what gets said of me when I do things, or if it's self-righteousness, because of people's, you know, attention paid to me when I do certain things, or if it's because of habit or duty, I go to church every week because it's, well, I go to church every week. It's habit, it's duty. Like, I mean, honestly, friends, like, it's a problem. I mean, if we're doing things because we want to please people, we saw in the Sermon on the Mount, you've already received your reward. This is really an important piece because if there's something else that's motivating you and I, and it's not because of a love for God, I think we're building on sand. And it's not going to be built to stand. The storm, we're told, is going to come, and it's going to be tested. It's got to be a love for God and a love for people that motivates why it is that we do what we do. And this applies to any kind of work, any kind of service, any kind of labor, family members, loving our wife, loving our husband, our friends, what we do to them, our neighbors, how we extend kindness toward them. It covers the whole thing. It's from when I wake up in the morning to when I lay my head on the pillow at night. What is it that I'm doing, and why is it that I'm doing it? And if the motivation, friends, is not out of a sincere heart of love for God and people, more sand-like than rock-like. And so, again, just being active is not an accurate measurement. Not at all. The foundation needs to be love for God and love for people. There's another thing I want to point out in this story. Thirdly, and that is just to consider the house that was built on sand. It looked like a solid structure. I alluded to it just a few moments ago, but it looked good, didn't it? I mean, it was well built. Everything appeared okay. It didn't fall down right away. It wasn't obviously a problem. As long as the weather looked good, as long as it was calm, people would even drive by and maybe admire the structure, but there was something okay about it. It wasn't a necessary problem. Not until the heavy rains came. Not until the storm actually showed up. And I highlight this because, you know, as, you know, good as it looked and as impressive as the structure may have appeared, it didn't mean that he was in good shape. It doesn't mean that it was going well, because the first storm shows that the foundation is either good or it's not so good. Remember back in October of 1989, massive earthquake in San Francisco. And what happened in San Francisco is we have the Golden Gate Bridge that is built directly, get this, friends, directly across the San Andreas Fault. That quake came, bridge, no problem at all. Why? Because the twin pillar went right down into bedrock in the ocean, actually. And that bridge sustained itself while there's this little overpass in Oakland. Have a picture of it. You can just have a look at it. And you know why this collapsed, they say? It's clear that those pillars were built on areas that were just filled in with material. There was nothing bedrock-like. And the disaster that took place on that overpass, they say, could have easily been solved simply if they would have built it right. And so, you know, again, the images of these just strike me, because I've driven on that thing before it went down. Many of you have too, I'm sure. It looked fine. You've driven on the Golden Gate Bridge. It looks fine. They both look fine. And then comes the storm. And when the storm comes, when the tests come, when the pounding comes, that's really when it gets tested, right? And this test obviously showed that overpass was a real problem. And so we can accomplish, friends, listen, a great deal in our world. You have at it. You can do a lot. Make your money. You can have a good marriage. You can have lots of friends. You can do good things. Give money to the poor. You can adopt a third world child. You can do great, impressive, important, and admirable things. But eventually, there's going to be a storm that comes. And when that storm comes, we have not built our life on a foundation that Jesus is calling us to. It's going to tumble. And it's going to come down. It's going to crash. And it's going to hurt you, or it's going to take other people out. It's going to be a terrible thing. Now, for some people, you know, the storm doesn't come in this life. I mean, true, you know people, I know people. It just seems that they've kind of gone through life. They really don't have an interest in Jesus. And they do things, they have things, and they go to the grave happy. For them, the storm seems to come on the other side. It comes after they've lived this short earthly life, and they are now in the mystery of what lays ahead. We do know from Scripture that there's a time or we'll come face to face with Jesus. Oh, Judgment Day. Kind of a scary thing. That's what it tells us. And on that day, the only thing that really matters, the only thing that matters, friend, is what have we done with Jesus? What have we done with Jesus? Have we embraced him? Have we longed to follow him, become like him? Have we embraced Jesus? Have we taken what Jesus did on the cross and applied it to our own life? For the forgiveness of our sin, we do have a sin problem. We do have a sin problem. And that sin problem is really only taken care of by what Jesus did on the cross. We believe that here. But on that day, it really only matters what we've done with Jesus. And so, you know, whether we, by faith, we've just applied what Jesus did because he's invited us to, you can just have your sins forgiven based upon what I've done on the cross. And when we stand face to face with Jesus on that day, I don't think that it's a long conversation. I think it really comes down to, what did you do with Jesus? And if you and I have applied what Jesus has done, we stand. If you and I haven't, then we get swept away. And I don't know what this week has meant to you, but it's been just an interesting week. Three celebrities. Now, we all probably know they died this week. So, you know, we've done an awful lot of thinking about, you know, Michael Jackson, 50 years old. I don't know. What's his foundation? Farrah Fawcett. I don't know. What's her foundation? Ed McMahon. I don't know. What's his foundation? I don't know. I don't know. God knows. And I would just simply say, isn't it a reminder, though, to us? You know, I mean, as I've said, you know, the death rate is still hovering around 100%. Like, we're all going to die. There's going to be a day when I die. And whatever the foundation that I've built my life on is the key. I just so determined I don't want to be a sand builder. I want to be on rock. And yet in my own life, there's so many times where I just blow it. And that's the beautiful thing that Jesus has invited us into in this whole series. Imperfect people is really the only people that he invites in. Those that think that they've got it together, they're really not, really, you know, even invited. Because Jesus realizes that their heart is not even realistic. Who's here has got it all together? I do not have it all together. Nobody has it all together. Imperfect people only. And so this whole aspect of, you know, one day we will stand before Jesus. One day we are going to have to face our God. And I think the question primarily is going to be, what did you do with my son Jesus? What did you do with Jesus? Did you build your foundation on the truth of who he is and what he's done? Now, you might be here today, and I don't know, maybe you've been a church goer all your life. Maybe you're here today, and you haven't been in a church before. You find yourself here today listening to a message like this, and you're asking yourself questions like, wow, I didn't know what to expect. And yet I'm hearing these things. What am I going to do with what it is that I'm hearing, you might be saying? Well, our prayer for every one of us is just simply that God would be able to have an ability to just be near you, speak to you. We believe that God can do that. We believe God will do that. So you might be here, and this is something that you've never considered, following Jesus, following actually this guy who claims to be God that's been dead for over 2,000 years. Well, we believe that Jesus is well and alive, and that we are to surrender and submit to him, and it's through the work of what Jesus did on the cross that our sin can be forgiven, and that we can actually embrace that, and that we would say you should embrace that, because that's the beginning of a good foundation. That's the beginning of getting it right. That's the beginning of moving from the sandbox to the rock garden. That's the point where you start to see that some stability can take place. When we finally surrender and we say, God, I am a broken person. I'm a broken man, a broken woman, a broken person. And I need you to understand my heart and help me to take some steps towards you. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you, Jesus. And your journey begins building the right foundation. Oh, I'd invite you to do that today. I would just urge you, don't delay. Do that today. You could do that. Many of you here, I'm sure, you know, you feel, I'm feeling pretty confident, you know, that I'm going to stand before Jesus and there's a question that'll probably come my way. And I mean, I've lived for Jesus. I go to church. I do the tithe thing. I actually have a Bible and I read it sometimes. And whatever it is you do, or whatever it is that you think you do. And I'm in that group. I mean, I just want to say some things to those of us that would claim, you know, those of us that bear the name of Jesus. I just want to give a warning to those of us, and that is that we should not be complacent. And again, I just want to remind us of a verse that we read last week. Matthew 7:21, this is what the words say. They're a little bit stinging, aren't they? It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father. Sure, friends, that we aren't deceived into thinking that we're all together. Only God knows, and I guess we know, the motivation of our heart. Why is it that we do what we do? And if it is anything less than a full surrender to God and love for Him and love for people, it feels sandy to me. And so that's what I just need to remind myself of on a regular basis. How come it is that I can become so self-serving or self-righteous or self-this or self-that, and I realize right away I've got a problem that I need to repent of? I'm doing life more in the sandbox than I ought to be. I'll just wrap it up this morning by talking a little bit about the wise builder. Recall how Jesus describes him. It says in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the flood came, the winds beat against that house, but it did not collapse because it had been founded on rock. How did this man differ from the foolish man? Did he work harder? Not really. Different materials? Not necessarily. All has to do with a foundation. All has to do with what it is that he built it on. And that makes all of the difference in the world. Now, these words also hold a promise, I believe, I want to leave us with this morning. Promise that we can live with this side of heaven. Promises that we can claim, promises that we can cling to. And there's something about the storms of life as you and I, we walk through them. We need these kinds of promises to hang on to. And I want to list some of them. Listen to these words. Just let these words soak into your heart, into your head, into your soul. Listen to the first one. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. This verse is saying, friends, whatever is coming across your path, whatever is hammering at you, whatever difficult thing is tempting you to do something you know isn't what you want to do, there's a promise in there that says God is overseeing the whole thing. And God is not going to bring anything across your path that you cannot take and win against. God is not going to let you get knocked down to the point where you're down for the count. He won't. And that's a promise that you and I can cling to. Listen to another one. John 10:27 says, My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There's something so reassuring about that promise, and it's just simply saying this. Once you're here, what's going to touch you? Once you're here, God says he's going to look after you and I. Once you're here, Jesus says, I will make sure, I will make sure nothing will ever, ever snatch you out of my hand. Listen to this final one in Romans 8. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Storms of life will rage. And they will even frighten us, and many times it will even cause many of us to just about despair under the weight of it. No matter what happens, we cannot lose Jesus, and he cannot lose you and I. So, when the storms do come, and the clouds are looking very black, and the wind starts to howl, and the rain starts to pour down, remember, it isn't a matter of you hanging on to Jesus. It's Jesus hanging onto you. Don't miss that. It's not you hanging onto Jesus. It's Jesus hanging onto you. And that's foundational. This whole series, worship team, you might as well come on up. This whole series, as I said earlier, is really just, it's about a group of people that Jesus is speaking to on this mountain. And Jesus has said an awful lot of words. And he doesn't want people to miss what he's saying. So he takes the time to say a lot of things. He says, there's a people I'm looking for. There's a people that I'm inviting in to become kingdom-like. And that as we just come together and we just see the broken things in our world, I'm calling you to help make it better. So if you see something over there whacked out, come alongside of it and shed a little light on it. If you see somebody that needs help over there, go and help them. If you see some injustice taking place over there, bring some justice. There's something that Jesus is saying, I'm inviting any and all. Be a part of this kingdom dream that I'm wanting to build. Follow me in this. Jesus says, follow me in this. Be a part of the kingdom that I want to build. Bring this thing together. And then, after he says these words, he says, now do these things. Don't just sit back and listen. Do these things. And there was something about the way that Jesus taught that the people just said, wow, that man is teaching in a way like I've never heard. Very, very different from the teachers of the law, the experts in the law. And there was a movement that happened in the hearts of people. And I just pray that in this church, in this room, with the people that have tracked along with this series, it'd be something that you'd say, okay, I'm not sure what to think of the church. I'm not sure what to think of Christianity. I just know Jesus. There's something about Jesus that is right. There's something about Jesus that I like. There's something about Jesus that I want. And friends, I'd invite you to that. Take a step toward him. Moved to the following of him. So here's the final question I just say. Are you building on sand? Are you building on rock? What's the foundation by which you're really banking on? You thought about it? My encouragement to you would just simply be, would it be something if today, you know, June 2009 was the day you kind of moved out of a sandbox and you built, you stay standing, move toward Jesus. You don't have to have it all figured out. But you do need to get humble, and you do need to surrender, and you do need to say, okay, Jesus, like, I want today to be the beginning of a better foundation in my life.